Sunday, Yud Dalet Tishri, Mordechai Nissim, and Yoni Sukkos.
Okay, so let's go. Good luck, everyone, and good Erev Sukkos. Just a few ideas on Sukkos that I thought we could share. Maybe go over the old and the new, and Beis Medrash Bilo Chiddush. So let's get going over here. Let's see what we can start with. Okay. Got all my macros here. Not sure we're organized. Okay. So, once it's focused on the idea, first of all, in Hashkafa, about what is in the eyes of Chazal, what is the main idea, the main relationship with the Chag in the Indian of Sukkos? But why do we need a sukkah? What's so special about a sukkah? Why dafka a sukkah? Right. So the Gemara first of all says that there's two opinions, Rabbi Akiva and his chaver, about why we have a sukkah in the first place. Well, one opinion is because is the Anan Kavod, and what are the Anan Kavod? So it says Rashi says hashivun, that we're taken from one place to the other. That was it was like a kind of a magic carpet or something like that. They go in it and it will take us from place to place. And bring them out. That's it. According to the other opinion, it's sukkah mamash. I mean, it's a mamash sukkah that would protect them from the heavy sun in the midbar. Yeah, so they needed to have a protection. So that was a sukkah. So that's basically we see two ideas of what the sukkah really is. Either it was some transport vehicle that took them from place to place when they were in the midbar, or it was some kind of protection. And we know it really happened in Pesach, right? It's when they came out of Mitzrayim. So why are we keeping it in sukkah? So it's the time of year that we keep it. So I'm sure we'll go over some gemaras that people are familiar with. And I hope there'll be some new ideas as well. So, the Ari HaKadosh says that the connection of Yamim Na'ara'im and Sukkos is all, it's like one long mahalach. It's all part of the same process. We have the festivals which are in from Pesach into Shavuos, which we know the Ramban says is like one long Chol HaMoed, which is 7 weeks long. And we have the other side of the year, right, which is the more stricter side of the year. And that is going from Yamim Na'arim into Sukkos. And so the Ari says that it's based on the Mahud, the essence of it really is the verse in Shir HaShirim, Smola Tachal Leroshi, your left hand is underneath the left side of under my head, V'minote Chabekeni, and you hug me with the right hand. Smola Tachal Leroshi is talking about the Yamim Na'arim from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur and the days we're in right now. And then we have the chibuk, the hugging, and the more the right side, right? V'menote chabekeni, Hashem hugs us with the right side, and the Zohar Kadosh says, it's mamash a hug, right? Because if you look at the walls of a sukkah, you can have two walls and a little bit, and a hug works the same way. Actually describes it that way. It's not just a nice thought. There's very deep concepts in this. Yeah? And in the way that there's a formula every day, the way that we're attacking the world through our tefillahs, etc., every day even in Shemona Esrei, it works through the same exact scenario. Yeah, but we know that the hemshech, all the din and all the structuring together for the year ahead of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there's a hemshech, there's a continuation which happens on Sukkos as well. In fact, in the writings of the Arizal, it actually describes the days that we're in, actually already begun now, even the days before Sukkos. There's a special like a sweetening, a mituk, which takes place, which is defined by the actual day. It's not like in Pesach you have to take the matzah, or you have to take, it's taking the lulav and the esrog. No, the actual day itself has in it a special light. Right? You don't have in any other kind of festival where the actual time is actually changed. It's a different time, got a different experience in the time itself. So sukkah is a very special mitzvah with an experience that you don't have in other mitzvahs. It's not a chefza like an object that you take in your hand and you use it and you shake it or something like that. I mean, apart from the love and the esrog, the actual sukkah itself is something we need to really try and be inside all the time, which is why according to the Mikubalim, it's good to have a base knesset in the sukkah itself. We actually shake the lulav in the base knesset. It's a whole machlok in the poskim, whether it's a good idea or not a good idea to shake lulav and esrog before going to shul on Yom Tov morning. You know the story of the Bredecheva, he woke up in the morning, he was so excited waiting for Amud HaShachar that he could go and shake his lulav, that it was in a glass cabinet. So when he came to do it, he didn't see the glass, he was so excited, he smashed through the glass, he cut his hands and he was shaking lulav and esrog, and there was blood coming down. And so what's going on? It was from his excitement, his lavas to go and do the mitzvah so eagerly. So really the first opportunity, do it in the sukkah. However, the other poskim say that it's tadi veno tadi, you've got mitzvah shema, which is more important. Why are you taking lulav when you haven't said shema yet? Right, so there's, I'm not going to the halacha about what to follow right now. Certainly according to many great rabbanim, they shook lulav and esrog before going to shul, and that's a fine thing to do. We have the Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, which is often quoted. The Gemara says, "Itanu edem v'itzdaku." Each nation will come and give their testimony, and there'll be justice. V'itzdaku. What's it speaking about? So, because Kikaro Yomedam, we read yesterday in Hazina, that the day of destruction is coming. Doomsday is on its way for the nations of the world who go in the rishus and the bad, in the bad evilness, right? And it says in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, right? Lifnei Edam, before the days of the Edam, which is an Aleph, the way it's spent, you mustn't pay back a goy if you've got a debt to him, because he's going to go and use the money for his Avodah Zarah before his festival. And the word Ed, or in Arabic is Eid, means a festival, like a chag, right? So you mustn't. So that whole Gemara that goes into this concept of Yom Edam, what's the day of destruction? It's talking about the Atid Lavo, it's going to come, it's going to be a big judgment in the world. And the Gemara goes on talking about all the different nations, and they'll come, which order they come in. Eventually, it says, Yava, Itanu Edem Veitzdaku, speaking that every non Jewish contemporary of every tzaddik in every generation will come and prove that the tzaddikim kept all the mitzvahs. That's what will happen. Achitofel will come on David, and each one will come against each other, you know, in every generation, to show he was a tzaddik, Bilam against Moshe Rabbeinu, etc. And eventually all the Rishayim will be proven to be, you know, corrupt, and they've got no future. That's it, game over, we're going to get rid of them. And then they'll say, Ten alanu, Ribbono Shalom, Ten alanu Mirosh, give us another chance. Exactly how the Gemara says it. So the Gemara then goes on to say, you can't. It says, Bisayom la'asatam, today you do mitzvahs. Hayom la'asatam, umachar kabel scharam, hayom la'asatam, in Urim it says, umachar hayom litol scharam, rather tomorrow. You don't get the reward now, you get the reward eventually. So come a time. Now one of the Gemaras between Avodah Zarah and Urim Rashi says that there's no mitzvahs in the future. That's it, mitzvah's finished. There's a certain time where there's no more mitzvahs anymore. We just enjoy the schar of the mitzvahs. If you look in the writings of the Ramchal, it talks about Olam Ha-Avoidah and Olam Aschar. This is Olam Ha-Avoidah. We have to be Tometarech ourselves. Then the Gemara says, Misha Mitarech Be'er Shabbos Yochal B'Shabbat. Shabbos. Whoever works on Friday to have what to eat on Shabbos can eat. Whoever, if you don't do any malachas on Friday to prepare for Shabbos, you can't do malachas on Shabbos, so it's too late. It says Afar Pichen, which is already a bit strange. I mean, if you can't do it, you can't do it. There's no mitzvahs for mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, Afar Pichen. Even so, he says, Hashem says, mitzvah kala yesh. I've got a light mitzvah. What does it mean, a light mitzvah? Today you could spend £1,000 on a sukkah, even more, right? But it's called a light sukkah. If you have one of those special roofs, it could be £10,000. But it's called a light sukkah, right? Not a heavyweight mitzvah. Mitzvah kala usak sukkah shman. It's called sukkah. Right, and he gives it to them, and the Gemara goes into why is it fair and not fair when he gives it to them in the middle of the heat of the year, because sometimes in Eretz Yisrael it's also very hot. Anyway, the Gemara goes on to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a very big hot sun, even though he gave them a mitzvah that is in a time where you don't do mitzvahs anymore, and they can't take it. So what do? They go and kick it, booty bite. They kick it in, and they smash the sukkah in with their feet, and they walk away. This is what the Gemara says is going to happen in the future. So the Gemara is going to say, so they couldn't manage, but why did they have to go and smash in the sukkah? That's what it says in the Gemara. So what is Chazal trying to teach us over here? What's this point that has been trying to be made across to us? Because this point defines the idea of the relationship between Klal Yisrael with the sukkah that the goyim don't have with the sukkah. They try to do it and it doesn't work for them. Hashem says, you want to chat? Okay. Also, if we're talking about now, we come to a time where there's no mitzvahs anymore. Come back to that kasha. So how come he gave him a mitzvah? And why that particular mitzvah in the future, when it's the time of Olam Haba or La'atid Lavo, according to there's two stages, La'atid Lavo, Olam Haba, we'll go into that right now. So we can suggest, therefore, that from all the mitzvahs in the Torah, right, the Chazal is telling us in Gemara, the first Amud to Amud of Avodah Zarah, that the sukkah represents Olam Haba. That's clear. Because why that? Why not tefillin? Right, tefillin every day, such a great mitzvah. Why on that particular time? You choose. You can have. I'll give you another chance. I'll give you a sukkah to do. The Misukah represents a kind of relationship that's Kayam, exists even in Olam Haba. Maybe you can extend it even further and say that the whole essence of Olam Haba and the whole essence of the mitzvah Sukkah is the same idea. Because it fits very nicely if you say that. That makes sense then. Because there's no mitzvahs anymore. But the experience of Olam Haba can be quantified, or you can experience it by the same idea when you say in a sukkah. You know the famous picture of the Hasidim going off to Shemaim in a sukkah. It was freezing cold somewhere in Eastern Europe, and they wanted to sit in the sukkah, but it was so cold they couldn't do it. So they went to the sukkah and said, "We did no chesh bonus, right? We're going to sit down in the sukkah. Hashem, give us the opportunity to fulfill the sukkah. It's too cold for us." So apparently they got whisked away into Shemaim to some hot climate in a desert somewhere in their sukkah, so they could carry on singing and dancing and they were in the gunim while they're in the sukkah. Right? That is Me'ein Olam Haba. So the idea of sukkah, we're saying, is you're sitting v'tzila d'emunuta, as it says in the Zohar Kadosh. We're sitting in the arms of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. V'minotecha b'keini. That means mamash, the idea of sitting in a sukkah is like being in Olam Haba. So it's not shaykh whether you need a gedir of a mitzvah anymore. Obviously we're doing a mitzvah b'olam hazeh, but in latid lavo, it's possible to experience Olam Haba, right, by the idea of sitting in a sukkah. That's what we can see from here. So why then can't the goyim, who are the good ones, obviously the bad ones are ready, they're finished, right? The other ones say, ten lanu mirosh. I should qualify that. According to Rambam and many Mishonim, a non-Jew has Olam Haba, lach l'maisa, if he's a good person, tzadikei mot olam. But these are the bad ones, and they're saying, giving us another chance. Say it like that. Yeah? They did have a chance. They didn't fulfill in their lifetime good deeds. So therefore Hashem, he says, give us another chance. It's okay. If you really think that you're shy for Olam Haba, let's see if you can sit in a sukkah. Okay. Why then do they go and smash in the sukkah? So one of my rabbis, Rav Yaakov Hillel, G'dolei Ador, he writes, he explains, heard from him personally, that the idea here could be explained as follows. A Jew, a Yid, we have always in our Chagim the shiluv, the bringing together, the synthesis of Gashmias and Ruchnias. And you see that very much in Sukkah. He didn't say this, but you see very much in Sukkah, because many Paskim say you shouldn't really daven for Gashmias and Rosh Hashanah. In fact, the Nefesh HaChaim is very makpid ever to daven about Gashmias, never to. Because you daven for the Shechina, and whatever the Shechina needs, Ki'imoni v'tzara. And it says, think about the Shechina, what the Shechina is going through. Tisha B'Av, we have one day in the year when we think about the pain of the Shechina, trying to not keeping mitzvahs and all the problems and pains and sufferings that people have. And we have one day we can go and visit the Shechina, so to speak, in the hospital, in the cancer wing, right? Or in a prison camp, and say to the Shechina, we're holding your hand, we can feel the pain, it's Tisha B'Av. Right, and then we come to Rosh Hashanah, time of Tikkias, the Rosh Hashanah Kadosh, special Musa. And then he says, he quotes the Zohar that says, on Rosh Hashanah, these people are screaming like dogs. Hav, 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 hav. Woof, 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 woof. Give me utra, wealth. Give me oisha, right? Give me money, right? Chai, right? But really, they should be screaming for the pain of the Shechina. So you see, Rosh Hashanah also has that experience. So there's no gashmias. You can speak about ruchnias. Give me a chance to keep more mitzvahs and to further Klal Yisrael with Torah mitzvahs, and that's helping the Shechina to come out of the galus. That's Rosh Hashanah and finishing Yom Kippur. But you look at all the Hoshanas that we say on Sukkot, it's full of gashmias. Rain, bracha, especially you get to Hoshana Rabbah, you're blessing the what's in the field and what's in the trees and the different types of foods which in each type of species that we need for it's all about wealth and gashmias. So you see, Sukkot is about gashmias and Rosh Hashanah more is about ruchnias. So there is a connection between the both. And the idea of the sukkah also is gashmias, right? Because you're sitting in a physical structure. But when we daven at the kosel, we don't say we're praying to the wall, chas v'shalom. It's about the zorah. I'm going to daven at the kosel. At the kosel, by the kosel, in front of the kosel. But when you're davening, you don't even see the kosel. No one's looking at the stones and think, oh, that's a really nice sized stone or something. It doesn't exist for us. We don't even, you can't even fathom the idea of davening to anything other than the Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? And not Milvado. And that we're saying, he says, my Rav Rabbi Yaakov Hillel says, that is the pshat of it. The goyim can't understand that. They can't imagine davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without having some kind of intermediary, some kind of, well, I actually said something gashmis. The idea that we've got gashmis and they've got ruchnias, As it is either gashmis or tzruchnis, you can't have both together. That's what he says. I wanted to say a slightly different pshat, which was the one I was just alluding to, that they can't understand the concept of davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without having a physical intermediary. Right? They look at the sukkah as a chefza, as an object. So when they can't keep the sukkah and it gets too difficult and the sun is too hot, instead of turning around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is too difficult, can you give us an even easier mitzvah? You can do anything. Right? You gave us this sukkah. You said it was easy, but actually it's not that easy for us. We're really suffering. So can't you do something easier than that? You know, this is too much for us. You know, tafasta marubba, it's a bit, maybe a little bit less than that. No, they don't even see that idea. They think that the problem here is the sukkah itself, and they go and smash in the sukkah as if to say, the sukkah is a lion, and the sukkah is the koyach, as if the sukkah is a Kaddish Baruch Hu. They can't understand the idea that the relationship is really with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to them, you see, from there, I can mochiach you, I can prove to you that you're not shaykh for Olam Haba. Because Olam Haba is a concept of vimi notecha bekeni. There's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu and there's nothing else. There's no real sukkah. The sukkah is only a way for us to imagine now we're in Olam Haba. Now we're in the arms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vimi notecha bekeni. Right, so we don't need the sukkah really for the sake of the sukkah. We just have to remind ourselves that there's a chetz of the mitzvah here, which is really defining the idea of being alone with a Kaddish Baruch Hu and nothing else. They can't see that. They look at the sukkah and everything is the sukkah. They don't see a Kaddish Baruch Hu, they see the sukkah. We don't see the sukkah, we see a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's the difference, right? So we said two pshati. One pshat is they can't synthesize together the shalev, the gashmius with the ruchnius. It's either gashmius, make money, be rich, go and have tivers and things like that, or go and sit in some place in the middle of nowhere in a monastery and separate yourself from the world. You can't do both together. And for us, we know everything. In fact, the Avu Darham asked the Shaila, why is it that there's a Suda in a Bris? If you look in Bris Milan in the Chedek of the Avu Darham, asked the Shaila, why is there a Bris, a Suda in a Bris? So he says, when Shlomo HaMelech, Vahashem Natan Chochma LeShlomo, when he taught him the entire Torah that night when he was a little kid, right, it was less than Bar Mitzvah. So the next day the Pasuk says he made a huge Suda for all the great people in the generation. He made a Siyum. So he says, Mikan, from here we learn, says Avu Darham, whenever we do anything, any great mitzvah, we always make a Suda. Jews are always involved with food, right? Remember, I lived in Yorkshire and I had some workmen in my house. They're working on an extension. You remember the extension very well. It had your wedding day on it with a countdown on the walls. And I heard them speaking for 2 weeks non-stop. They never once mentioned food. So I said to them, I don't understand, you put two Jews in a room, however from they are, Hasidim, Lishvish, Svadim, doesn't matter, men, women, children, makes it. After a couple of minutes, it always switches to food, right? Unless they're B'nai Torah and they're talking about Torah, obviously, you've got time for food. But general people, I'm on arm, they speak about food all the time. What was your food here? What you cook, especially women. So I said, how comes you never speak about food? So they said, food? What food? We were hungry, we go to the shop and put it in our stomach. You know, there's no concept of kosher food, find a kosher restaurant. There's no tircha for anything. They don't think about food the way, you didn't always bring food. Why? So the Avu Darham says, the reason is because the guf says, hang on a minute, you're doing this great mitzvah rabbah, right? A great mitzvah rabbah. A bris, right? A bar mitzvah. Whatever it might be. What about me? I'm the guf. I want to also be nehene from it. I want a chelik in the mitzvah. So you have to give me some shiraim. I also want to be mishutaf in what's going in this pula. So it says, I tina, you have to also make a suda and give me some food. So that's why, in order for the guf to participate in every mitzvah, whether it's a great mitzvah, we always have a suda. That's a davu darham. I mean, talking here, an early source. It's a great idea, understanding into it, insight into it. So really, there's a concept that the guf and the neshama both want to enjoy the chad. Especially Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur was very much to do with Ruchnius. So on Sukkot, we have to see that the body is also involved. And that's what the Goyim can't relate to. That's one pshat. The second pshat was what I was saying, I'm trying to mechadish, that the idea of intermediary. The Goyim can't serve Hashem without something in between. Some intermediary, some chefza. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, when there's no mitzvahs anymore, you can try it if you want by going in a sukkah. But you'll see from the sukkah that it's not about me and you having a relationship, it's about you looking at the bricks and the wood and the schach and smashing it in when you can't handle it anymore. So, sof kol sof, what comes out from all of this? That the concept of sukkah is very much being alone with a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's being in the arms of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, being with a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And that's the mitzvah that defines Olam Haba, a relationship with a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And I wanted to share with you, in Sefer Nehemiah, we find a similar idea. Not exactly the same, but if you know that about 5 minutes, my dad got slightly over because I started slightly late, if you permit me. But in Sefer Nehemiah, in Per Ches, we're describing when Ezra and Nehemiah came back to Eretz Yisrael. Now, if you read it, if you've got time to read through, you know, Tanakh well, they took with them 250 people. And when they came there, they came to fight the Shomranim and other people who were pretending to be their friends. But they came to build a Bais Sheni. And they had to make sure they left in Bavel, really the Tamidei Chachamim and the great leaders, a lot of them stayed in Bavel. The ones that came with them were ones that offered themselves, but they weren't the strongest element of Klal Yisrael. In fact, just before they went to Eretz Yisrael, by the Yarden, he sits down all Klal Yisrael that came with him, and he says, now is the time to leave your non-Jewish wives. Right? And to leave them behind. Now we're going to Eretz Yisrael to build the base of Mikdash. And from now on, we have to start keeping Shabbos. Right? And there was a big kiru operation with the JLE and Aisha over there doing all their work, right, to get a good Shabbos experience and marrying Jewish. These are the two concepts. Right? And then it describes most... it's amazing. But look what it says over here. They came in there and it was the time of Sukkot. They came to Ezra and Nehemiah and they said, we want to build a Sukkah. After they went through the Torah, they learned everything in the Chumash. They took this one thing and said, hang on a minute, we have to build a sukkah. Like, as if it was such a big chiddush to build a sukkah. Okay? So let's read some pasuk. וביום השני נעשו ראשי האבות לכל המקונים והאוהבים על עזרא הסופר להזכיר את דברי התורה. They went to learn the entire Torah on the second day, it says. ומצאו כתוב בתורה. They found a really big chiddush in the Chumash, right, in the Torah. Something that you never would have known, it says. אשר ציווה אדוני ביד משה אשר ישבו בני ישראל בסוכות. That it says they sat in a sukkah when they were in the midbar. And in בחג החודש השביעי, that there's a mitzvah to keep sukkah. They found it in the Torah. Like, wow, man, you go to the Chumash one day. Oh, look, there's a mitzvah sukkah. V'asher yashmiu yavru kol b'chol areihem u'b'Yerushalayim lemor. And they started screaming through all the city of Yerushalayim. Tzu'u ahari avu al zayit v'ale etz shemen, bring all this olive wood. Let's start building sukkahs, as it says in the pasuk. I mean, we're not talking about in the middle of the year. We're talking about on sukkahs. V'ale hadash, v'ale tamarim, v'ale etzavot. And they brought the abominim la'asot sukkah kakatuv, to do what's written in the Torah. As if they weren't going to do it, had they not found it by accident going through the Chumash. V'yetzu ha'am v'aviu v'yasu lahem sukkot ish al gago b'chatzerotehem. It's described by Ezra, because he wrote Nehemiah, we know they wrote them together, that they built the sukkah, it says, al gago b'chatzerotehem in the chatzeros, in the courtyards. V'chatzerot beit ha'elohim, meaning in Yerushalayim, right, in the old city. Berchot Shara Maim, and the entrance of the Shara Maim, Berchot Shara Ephraim. The Asukola Kala Shavim Menashevi. All the Jews that came back from Bavel, came back to Eretz Yisrael. They made the Sukkah, the Yeshbuba Sukkah, Kilo, listen to this now. Kilo Asu, because they hadn't done it, Mime Yeshua Ben Nun, Ken. They had not done such a thing from the time of Yeshua Ben Nun, Ken. It says like that. Bnei Israel, Ada Yom Ahu, until that day. Mina Yom Arishon Ad Yom Acharon, from the first day of Sukkah until the last day of Sukkah. You can see we're taking out all the sfeikas here that we're talking about building Sukkah on Sukkahs. The Asu Chag Shivat Yamin by Yom Hashmini Atzeret Kamishpat, as it was written. Right? I missed that a little bit. It says Hayom Azu Ve'Tis Simcha Gdola Meod. It was a great Simcha. Okay. What's going on here? They hadn't kept Sukkahs from the time of Yeshua Ben Nun until the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. That's the entire duration virtually of all the Nevi'im. They never kept Sukkah. So what does it mean, Ken, as that? So some say in such a big, grand way. The Malbim says the following. Beautiful Malbim. I've got time to go through it inside, but I'll say it from outside. He says there's a halacha that we find in Shulchan Aruch that you can't build a Sukkah in a Rishus HaRabim. Right, so you go on the streets and build a sukkah like you do outside all the restaurants. It's a whole shayla in halacha if you're sitting in a sukkah or not, and everyone does it around us. Okay, yeah. So the pshat is that in Yerushalayim they never built a sukkah before. Maybe somewhere else they did, but in Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim had a din of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, as proven by various sources which he brings down, and that's why it says Bechatzoroteim, Beis Elokim, all the places describing Shaar Ephraim are all places which are Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's what the Navi is trying to tell us. They're in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Davka they build the sukkah. Why? What was chat here? So it says there's a whole machloki in the Gemara when David HaMelech was Mekadesh Israel. Is it Kitcha Shaita or Kitcha Latin? Is it forever? And Halacha comes out that it was only for that time. When Ezra came back to build the base of Mikdash a second time, he did a Kiddush Sheni. He's Mekadesh, he sanctified all the land of Eretz Israel a second time. And he made a Tnai based in. We find other sources in Erech and other places that he made a condition when he was Mekadesh it that you can now own private property in Yerushalayim. That means in the first bite, nobody had any private houses or condos or anything like that, beautiful villas overlooking the coast. None of that existed. It was all public property. It was all Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Whereas in the second bias, Ezra was metakin that you can own property in Yerushalayim, in the old city. And that was a chiddush. And that's why once they were able to own property over there, then they were allowed to build a sukkah over there. And that's exactly what the pasuk's telling us, according to the Malbim. If you've got time to look at it, it's in Perek Chet, in Yud Dalet, Siman Yud Dalet, beautiful piece that he goes through the whole thing. And he says, but that's only in Eretz Israel, where the Mekadesh, the Tanai Basin, that you can own Rishus, you can make a Sukkah. How it works, either it could be a Rishus Yachid, or you're allowed in Rishus Rabbim to do what's normally not allowed, and you can build a Sukkah there. Right, however you learn it. But in Chutz La'aretz, says the Malbim, in Rishus Rabbim, you can't really build a Sukkah. Right? Could be you could take Rishus, not take Rishus. You have to learn Or Chaim to look into it. It's machlokes, not so clear. Kafa Chaim seems to come out that you can with Rishus. So for example, they build a sukkah in a park. It belongs to everybody, so Rishus Rabbim. So Shaila, whether you can be Yotzi in it or not. You take permission from everybody in the Rishus, maybe from the mayor, it could be that it'll be okay. But some say, no, even then you can't, because it's Rishus Rabbim. It's got a dinner Rishus Rabbim. So we see from here, that when it came to renew, to reinstate a relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, the first thing that Kal Yisrael had to do was keep Sukkah. Again, it defines our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Why wasn't it when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they started wearing tefillin? Starting shechting animals properly. I don't know what they were keeping, not keeping back then, correct, halachically correct. Obviously, there was a big hole in their avoida. They didn't have Sukkah, right? But now, so it comes out they really did keep all the mitzvahs, but even so, they demanded of Ezra that in Yerushalayim they should be able to build a sukkah. In the Makom HaBeis HaMikdash, where they connect to Hashem, where there's Avod and Tefillah, that we want to experience sukkah in this place. So if we explain that sukkah is really his definition, it's like Olam Haba, I'm alone with Hashem, I can feel the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It makes sense in Yerushalayim, from all places, that they wanted to have that experience of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I just want to finish with a story, and a few stories, but it's already time. A story that can maybe take this idea and put it into practice. A story, again, of Rabbi Yitzchak Mberdichev. You may have heard this story, you may not. It's an amazing maisha. He didn't have any album in him that particular year, and his gabayim went to find, maybe they'll find somebody who can find for the Rebbe some album in him. So they went to the Pasha Sadrachim, they went to the crossroads. So maybe a rich person will pass by and he's got Abba Minim and we can convince him to bring it to the Rebbe. So, true enough, a rich man passed by and he had the most beautiful Abba Minim. Beautiful Esrog, Lulav. They said, if you don't mind, you come and get a bracha from the Rebbe so he can see your beautiful Abba Minim. So he comes in by the Rebbe, he says, it's beautiful. How much do you want for it? He says, I'm sorry, it's mine. I can't. No, so stay for Chag over here. He says, stay with Regal and by me. He says, I've got family, I've got children. He says, look, I'll give you anything you want. I don't have a bar minim. I really want to do this mitzvah. Can you stay with me for Regal? He says, no, I'm sorry, I can't. I would like to, but I've got to go to my family. He says, look, I'll tell you what. I promise you, if you give me your Lulav and Esrog for Chag and stay with me over here, it's yours, but you can be by me. I promise you, you'll go to Olam Haba. Promise you, Olam Haba. So he says, I'll give it to tomorrow to think about. So he's thinking, how can you turn around? Children, family, all that. How can you turn down Olam Haba? He's giving him Olam Haba. Right? So he came back, he says, Bishayza, okay, I'm going to stay happy to accept Olam Haba. It's a good deal. It's worth it. It's worthwhile. My wife might be upset, but I'm sure she'll cope with it. At the end of the day, it's going to affect her as well, so she'll also go to Olam Haba. Right? So comes Chag. comes, it's a night, it's a leil, they're all davening in shul, everything. The Rebbe says to everybody in the tzibur, no one is to allow this man to enter into a sukkah. He comes to your house, keep him out. Don't allow him at all, bichlal, to enter into a sukkah. Right? So he has to be without a sukkah. Obviously he didn't build his own sukkah, he's expecting to eat by the Rebbe's tish, right? So comes after davening, he's going from house to house, no one's letting him in, he's crying, I want to do sukkah, give me a chance to do the mitzvah. I came to do a favor, this is why I came back. So she comes to the Rebbe's house, banging on the door. So the Rebbe comes out and goes, no, what's the problem? He goes, no one will let me into the sukkah. I can't. I helped you, I gave you Abba Minim, let me into it. He says, no, sorry, I'm not in the sukkah. He says, look, what is it? Why won't you let me do this? What have I done wrong? I'm sorry, I'm mechila, anything. Just let me into the sukkah for, make a bracha. So he says, look, if you're willing to give up your olam haba, right, which I promised you, right, then I'll let you into the sukkah. So he's thinking, he says, you, if it means that much to you, you have to be able to give up olam haba for it. So he said, look, I'll give anything you want, take my olam haba, just let me do the mitzvah of being in a sukkah. So he says, now that you're willing to give up olam haba for the mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you both. He'll give you olam, he'll give you the sukkah, and he'll give you the olam haba as well. Right? Amazing, amazing maaser. Right? Again, it defines so well that olam haba and the mitzvah of sukkah are linked together. Hai nuhach, it's the same thing. Mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us to create the right atmosphere in our sukkah, in mitzvah based Knesset, to be very careful not to speak any kind of leitzanos or anything like that. Mama's got a huge, huge kedusha, and I just finished by saying the Holy Zohar says that the chelik of the ishpizin, I mean, we put nice, the Ben Ish Chai says this idea of gashmius, you always have to have a place which is a simon of the ruchnius. So we put, I don't know, but Spada, we put like a chair or a tiny mat, a cushion or something, like we do in a bris, they have a cushion, and say this matzat, this cushion, is a simon that Eliyahu Navi and the ishpizin come down into the sukkah. Yeah, so when we do that, so we have a meal, so we have to give them also, they're the guest of honor, to give them a nice plate of food. Chas v'shalom, we can't do that, but Zohar, I mean, it's Hashem, but they don't want to eat it. So it says in the Zohar, the chelik of the portion of the suda, that of the yishpizim, is when we give it to aniyim. So we have to make sure before the chag to make sure the aniyim have what to eat by inviting them to our sukkah or sending food for them. Poskim say, I've heard Poskim say that you can do it even before the chag to be doeg that they should have enough food. Also, some Poskim say that bizman hazeh, if we don't have the aniyim who really mamish don't have food to eat, aniyei da'at, people who are not from, who don't know what sukkah is, they have an experience of Yom Tov, bringing them into our sukkah is mekayim in the midst of aniyim, because they're also aniyim, the aniyim in the bereft of any Torah and the experience, so that's also a way of fulfilling this mitzvah of helping the aniyim. And in that way, the ushpizim come and join us in the mevarach and bench us. So for the whole year, Baruch Hu should give us ruchnis and gashmis together, ruch v'geshem. Should we have a great chag with Hashem and a chasima toiva, kol tov.